Stay informed. Invest in future media makers and join us on Kickstarter today.
Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Donate to the campaign and share it with your friends. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Pan-African Gala Night, Mandela's Legacy Centennial, February 23rd at 8 p.m. at No Vacancy Lounge in Portland. Pan-African Gala Night will feature the Haitian band Solo African, a DJ from Ghana, and other DJs playing Afro world music. That's the Pan-African Gala Night, Mandela's Legacy Centennial, on February 23rd at 8 p.m. at No Vacancy Lounge at 235 Southwest 1st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Pan-African Gala Night.
I'd like to tell you that you're listening to KBOO Portland. We will have flashpoints at 10:15 with Dennis Bernstein, and at 11, the food show keeps you on top of the news and issues surrounding the food on your plate. Stay tuned.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, February 21st, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland Community Sanctuary Solidarity. We have a consistent pattern. Let's just quickly take a romp through weather for the next couple of days. It's looking like about the same. For today and tomorrow, daytime highs hovering in the 40s, and night times, temperatures dropping into the low 30s in the more urban areas, and out in rural areas, it's going to probably be in the for the next couple of days in the high 20s at night. And today, cloudy, possible chance of showers much later in the day. And then again for tonight, tomorrow night, clouds, a chance of snow or snow mixed with rain. It's going to be cold one way or another. So there you have that. So we're going to be talking with James Henry. And the trigger warning for today is your world is about to come crashing down, because you know what? The U.S. looks very much like the Soviet Union did in the aftermath of its collapse. There's mass, widespread looting of the wealth and resources of the country, and we have people, both the Americans and Russians, people who are interested in looting the country, whatever the cost. For them, the cost is pretty much nothing. For us, as citizens of the United States of America, so far as we last checked, the costs are going to be terrible. All the costs of looting the country are going to be borne by citizens, whether you are involved or sitting home doing yoga, praying, and wearing a hat, you're involved anyway. So might as well get up and take action. It may take more than marching in the streets, we don't know, but this is where we are right now. The parallels are simply unavoidable. We're in a moment. I spoke with James Henry. He is an economist. He has written many books, many that you probably have read, and he has been not following. He's been working on a case along with Fred Oberlander, whom we spoke to last week, that basically deconstructs the activities of prominent Russian and American players, most prominent among these being Felix Sater and, playing for the Russians, and on the U.S. side, it's Paul Manafort. These two no limits whatsoever to avarice avarice, cupidity, and sheer showmanship in lying. They are up there on the pedestal, and the rest of us are down here. It's a step further up the pay scale from simply being a one percenter. This stuff takes, can't say it, but it takes something to accomplish what they've accomplished, and I don't mean that in a good way. And in just one quick moment, we are going to go to our audio for today. We're going to be speaking, as I said, with James Henry, and talking a little bit about Felix Sater, because as we brought up last week, Sater agreed to cooperate with authorities in exchange for his records being sealed, because it becomes clear that he is an out-and-out criminal. He has a number of felonies in his past, and he's about to be discovered to be involved in yet another felony or felonies this time around. So, with that said, we are going to jump right into that interview.
Second Circuit of New York and the Eastern District of New York unsealed. He was a cooperating witness way back in the 90s after having been part of a $40 million financial fraud. And he did a kind of a cooperating agreement with Loretta Lynch, who was then the prosecuting attorney in the Eastern District, that basically gave him a kind of secret status during the next decade or so, during which he did much of his financial engineering for Donald Trump in the Trump Soho, and you know, hundreds of millions of dollars were raised without disclosing the fact that this guy was a twice convicted felon. But so we've gotten a lawsuit together, and Henry Kaufman is our attorney in New York, and filed that last year. And the Second Circuit has been taking its time, but finally we achieved a certain kind of victory. They're going to release any day now 21 redacted documents that were in the file, including some statements about, you know, the nature of his relationships with businesses that he was engaged in while he was a cooperating witness. And it's really kind of a Whitey Bulger situation, where, you know, the fact that he had this deal was enabling him to go on and do business with Donald Trump and other investors. He's also involved in laundering money from Kazakhstan into the Trump Tower. There's a case involving that going on now in Europe that we're looking at. I'm going over there next week. You know, we're hoping for some news value from these documents that we've gotten released finally after such a long strain. Part of what it shows, unfortunately, is that the Second Circuit in New York has had quite a few of these cooperating witnesses that have been given, I would say, you know, deals that turned out to be, in hindsight, of more value to the criminals than to the law-abiding citizens and taxpayers, because they allowed folks to go on and kind of maintain their criminal activities throughout periods and have quite a bit of influence, despite you know, being able to conceal their criminal records. So that's one of the public policy issues in New York, especially because this district has, you know, quite a few of these deals. I mean, this is where a lot of organized crime is headquartered, and, you know, this is apparently quite a bit of, you know, monkey business with respect to the docket, with respect to these cooperating felons. And, you know, I think more broadly, we have a Mueller case kind of exploding now, he's beginning to make real progress in terms of identifying some of the Russian actors here, and I think the next 3 months will be decisive in terms of how much further we can expect Mueller to go in terms of bringing indictments against various inner members of the Trump circle. Whether or not any of that leads to anything like him resigning from office or much less impeachment, I think is debatable, because we're a long way from having a majority of people in Congress who would vote for impeachment, even with what we know now. So, basically the country is, kind of becoming, more favorable to him. The tax cut was his big shining moment, and that was passed almost without him by the Republican Congress. Would have passed anyway, even if Pence had been president. So, whatever credit Republicans deserve, and I've been quite critical of that bill, I think it's a giveaway, but whatever credit they got from the country for passing that reform is not really inuring to Donald Trump's benefit. I think he's going to have a hard time standing up before the tidal wave of revelations that's going to be coming out in the next 3 or 4 months.
Trump supporters, the 35% so-called, are going to be pretty unhappy when they find out what this tax plan is really going to do to them and what little they have left transferred to our American oligarchs.
Well, I think that's right. I've written about that bill. It's quite a complicated bill with many perverse aspects to it. On the surface, it lowers the corporate tax rate to more competitive level with the rest of the world, but most of the major multinationals were already paying effective corporate tax rates far lower than the 35%. And this bill, essentially, first thing it did was to basically give them virtually zero tax rate on the $2.6 trillion they stashed offshore, because in theory, they have a 15.5% tax rate on the cash portion of this, but actually they're given 8 years tax-free and interest-free to pay the tax bill. And I would like that deal on my taxes. and there's no actual requirement that they repatriate the money or much less invest it in the United States. They can leave it offshore. And then furthermore, going forward, they switch the U.S. corporate income tax, now becomes what's called a territorial income tax, so that a company like Apple, that has about 65% of its revenues and profits offshore, will not be taxable on those offshore profits, virtually none, maybe up to 10% of royalties on intellectual property that's offshore, but so at most there would be a 10% tax offshore, 21% tax on domestic income. So that's a heck of an incentive for people to continue to move money to havens offshore.
Sure. Plus, if market correction becomes a way of life on Wall Street, there's even less incentive to repatriate anything.
Yeah. Well, I think we're facing a stock market that really didn't need such a tax cut. It was more than time from the standpoint of the macroeconomy. We're about as close to full employment as we've been. And this will create, by all reasonable estimates, a couple $1 trillion of deficits over the next decade that we didn't need. And, that's going to add to the pressures on prices, and people are going to see their real wages under pressure, even though nominal wages, the cash wages that we get paid, have been going up, so is inflation. So the real take-home earnings, especially after you look at what's happening with healthcare costs, and this same tax bill basically took a bite out of the Obama healthcare plan so that many more Americans won't have any coverage. Now he's going, Trump and the Republicans are going after cutting, Medicare. Medicaid.
Oh, that'll go over big.
and I think that, you know, so there's a lot of ways in which, you know, the actual stiffs out there that are may have supported Donald Trump because they perceived that he was something new.
This has been Eric Cascadia for Wednesday, February 21st, 2018. We have to wrap that interview up at that point. There is a lot more. James Henry takes apart Trump's tax, new tax juggernaut. Dare we drag out the word, but in the next 15 minutes or so. This has been Eric Cascadia for February 21st, 2018. Crystal Alinsky engineered for us today. Thanks very much, Crystal. Derek Crooks is our AM News Public Affairs Director. Thank you, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Feet to the Fire campaign peaceful protest on Wednesday, February 28th at 10 a.m. at the Clackamas County Courthouse in Oregon City. This peaceful protest happens monthly outside of one of the county courthouses where community members are struggling for justice for their loved ones lost to police violence and hate crimes. These protests remember the loved ones and educate the public about their cases and about the power of district attorneys. Again, that's the Feet to the Fire campaign peaceful protest on Wednesday, February 28th at 10 a.m. at the Clackamas County Courthouse, located at 807 Main Street in Oregon City. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
When we are given an opportunity